Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family. And as always, we'd like to invite the Blessed Mother to be with us. What a consolation it is to have Mary to be with us. Mary has many beautiful titles. And among the beautiful titles of our Heavenly Mother, Mary Most Holy, is that of Mary's the Mother of God. Mary's the Mother of the Church. And Mary's the Mother of each and every one of us. We cry out to her also in the Hail Holy Queen. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Mary, come to be with us, as we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, let's invite to be with us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual guide. How can we go wrong with the Holy Spirit being with us? What a great blessing it is to know of the Holy Spirit, to love the Holy Spirit, to invoke the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is he's known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the gift of gifts. He's also known as the Counselor. He's also known as the Consoler. In the midst of the trials we go through, we want to turn to the Holy Spirit and ask for his consolation. And given that we come together every morning as a Perseverance family, and we're striving on a daily basis to grow in our prayer life, the Holy Spirit is key in our perseverance in prayer and our growth in prayer. For that reason, we call the Holy Spirit the interior master or teacher of prayer. So St. Augustine says, he who sings well prays twice. Let's sing to the Holy Spirit and invite him to be with us, to encourage us and to guide us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Now on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. O Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Ignatius Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Avila, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Given that we are a perseverance family, right off the bat, I will pray for all of you. And I have two masses today at 12 as well as 6. So in these two masses, I'll place you, your family, your intentions on the altar. So that today God will give you a lot of peace, a lot of joy, protection, and his abiding presence, that you'll be aware of God's presence with you. You know, when you're maybe going through a tough time, remember these words from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Beautiful words. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. So my prayer will be that all of you will have a very peaceful day, and that you'll be aware that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph want to accompany you. And I ask you to pray for me. Pray especially because our spiritual exercises program, we start the second week tomorrow. Pray that our live stream family, because that's what we are, our live stream family will grow in our knowledge and love for God. Okay, today, as always, there's a lot to cover. And first, I'd like to just speak about the fact that today is the first Friday of the month. Now, you probably know, most of you, First Friday is a special day in honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And if you look at my studio, in back of me, I see a lot of beautiful pictures. And on the wall, you can see the beautiful picture of Our Lady of Fatima, Guadalupe, and then you can see the image, beautiful picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So today, being the first Friday of the month of February, it's a day in which we want to honor, in a special way, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You look also on the wall, pointing to it now, you can see Jesus appearing to a nun, and that nun is Saint Margaret Mariella Cook. So in the 1600s, in the convent of Paray-le-Monial, France, Jesus appeared to this humble nun, her name was Margaret Mary. And he appeared more than once. And what he did was he showed his Sacred Heart to her, the way you can see it on the wall. And he said, "Behold the heart that loves so much. and receives only ingratitude and indifference. Console my heart. So Jesus wanted her to make a holy hour, Holy Thursday night, in honor of the agony in the garden. And Jesus said to the apostle, could you not stay awake and pray 1 hour with me? Then Jesus wanted to be honored eventually through the image. And hopefully all of you have a beautiful image of the Sacred Heart. Here's a beautiful prayer you might say in honor of the Sacred Heart. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. And Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours. Sweetheart of Mary, be my salvation. Three very beautiful prayers that can comfort us in our struggles. And Jesus wanted his heart to be honored. And he wanted us also to offer up due reparation for the sins against his Sacred Heart. And Jesus told St. Margaret Mary Alacoque that he wanted the practice of what is called the First Fridays. It would be the 9 first Fridays of the month. And he promised, if these were carried out with the conditions, that he would intervene to save us. And really, that's the word, that's the what Jesus means is Savior. Here's another prayer when we're maybe going through problems. We should pray, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Peter was sinking on the waves, and he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus said, man of little faith, he stretched out his hand, and he saved Peter. So the 9 consecutive first Fridays of the month, what did Jesus ask? Well, he asked first confession. And the confession can be done a week before or a week after, given that it's not always easy to find a confessor a week before or after. And if you can't find a confessor because there's quarantine, and try to make a perfect act of contrition. You make a perfect act of contrition, God's grace already is restored in your soul. It's good to know that. If we've had the misfortune of falling into mortal sin, we say, Lord, I really love you. I don't want to sin anymore. Help me. Have mercy on me. If we're moved by those sentiments, the grace of God is already restored to our souls. So confession within a week. And then go to Mass. Once again, if it's impossible for you to go to Mass because of circumstances, then try to follow Mass online. We have Mass online at 12 o'clock, at 8 o'clock as well as 6 p.m. The 8 o'clock Mass is a bilingual Mass, and 6 o'clock I say the Mass usually in Spanish. Participate fully, actively, and consciously, and also try to make a spiritual communion. But if at all possible, try to go to Mass in person if you're up, if you can. Now, Jesus said to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the communion you make Jesus said, should be a communion of reparation. What does reparation mean? It means to repair for the sins against the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, there are many. And I can mention a few. First would be in reparation for the sins of abortion. This is still in our country as well as in the world of major moral evil, is the sin of abortion, the killing of innocent babies. Second would be the sins in which certain ideologies are trying to destroy the family because the family is the domestic church. It's a basic cell of society. It's the building block of the world. And the third, I would say, is the sin of indifference toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A certain indifference toward the Mass and the sacraments. Remember what Jesus said, you're neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm. I will spit you out of my mouth. So we don't want to treat God with indifference, with coldness. We don't want to forget God. Rather, we want God to be the very center of our hearts. So when we receive Holy Communion, try to make what's called a communion of reparation. So 9 consecutive first Fridays of the month, try to do that. And the Lord promises you salvation. So you can start today if you like. And 9 first Fridays of the month. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the saint that we celebrate today. Today we celebrate a saint. Her name is Saint Agatha. We don't know too much about her. Agatha means goodness. And she was a young woman filled with goodness. She died around the year 251 during the time of the Roman persecution. She's from Sicily, Italy. And we don't know too much about her life, but she's very attractive. And she made a vow of virginity. Now back then, in the Roman pagan society, a young woman making a vow of virginity was crazy. That is preposterous. A woman deciding not to marry and have love with a man and have children was just unthinkable. But she was firm because she was going to marry mystically our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because a woman who becomes a religious isn't so much denouncing love, but sublimating it. There's the story of Saint Catherine of Siena, who's having a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus betroths Catherine of Siena and gives her a ring, a symbol of his spiritual marital union with Catherine of Siena, virgin. All the rest of her life, Catherine was able to see that ring. She renounced physical marriage, as did St. Agatha and St. Lucy and some of the early Roman martyrs, so that they could love God. What is the greatest commandment? To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So the authorities were infuriated by this decision. And what they did was they threw her in a house of prostitution. God protected her. And then eventually she was tortured and she was martyred. So St. Agatha is a virgin martyr. And there was about to erupt Mount Etna, a volcano there in Italy. And they prayed to her and the volcano was stopped. So they recognized after she died that she was a great saint. Let us beg St. Agatha. Here's a picture of her. Let us beg her for this grace. For the virtue of purity. For ourselves and for our young people. And especially our young people, as well as ourselves, that they recognize that the virtue of purity is very important. Even the eyes of the world cannot understand it. But the eyes of God, the virtue of purity, is very, very important. And let's pray that we'll be able to live out that beatitude. Matthew 5:8. That is, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. For us to be able to see God, for us to be able to contemplate God in this life as well as in the next, we have to try to cultivate purity of eyes, memory, mind, emotions, heart, body, totality. And it's not easy. That's why I always recommend to all of us great devotion to Mary. Because the Blessed Virgin Mary can help all of us to attain many virtues. But especially the virtue of purity. It's proven in the lives of the saints, them turning to Mary, Mary obtains for them this very, very precious jewel or gift. And the second is St. Agatha also was a martyr. Let's pray to this great saint that we will be valiant soldiers of Jesus Christ. That we will be valiant soldiers of Jesus Christ. That we will get to know the truth better. That we will love the truth. We will defend the truth. We will be willing to die for the truth. As Jesus says, the truth will set you free. So there we have that brief comment now on number 248 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Brief commentary, then we're going to go into the letter of the Hebrews, which is very interesting. And you see the gospel is related to St. Agatha because we've got John the Baptist. My friends, we're going through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, little by little. And the Catechism is explaining the greatest mystery of our Catholic faith. The Catechism is going through it in very dense theological language. But I try to be as simple as possible. We believe in the Trinity. This is the greatest mystery of our Catholic faith. We believe in the Trinity. By the Trinity, we mean we believe in one God and three separate persons. The three separate persons are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is the first person of the Trinity. The Son is the second person of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. They are three separate persons. They are equal in essence or substance, but they're distinct. Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. And the mutual love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go from the heavenly realm to our own human hearts. Now, very important. It's true that the Trinity is in heaven. However, the Trinity is closer to you than you're aware of. I think we should never forget the graces that flow and will flow through our baptism. When you are baptized, many of you are baptized when you're very small. The priest baptized you, Irene, Martha, Nancy, Maria Leia. The priest baptized you. And he said, Irene, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Not only did that wash away original sin, which came from Adam and Eve, but also, in that moment, you received the greatest gift or gifts in your life. You received three divine persons that entered into your heart. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You became a son or daughter to God the Father. You became a brother or sister to Jesus Christ. And you establish a deep friendship with the Holy Spirit. Call to mind that profound truth of the Trinity. Yes, the Trinity is in heaven, but the Trinity is within us. For that reason, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. St. Paul, quoting the Greek poet, says, in him we live and move and have our being. Don't you love that? In him we live and move and have our being. Now, as a reminder of the Blessed Trinity, we make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Indeed, every time you make the sign of the cross, you are professing the greatest mystery in the Catholic faith, one God in three persons. But in a certain sense, you're calling to mind within yourself. You're calling to mind within yourself the Blessed Trinity that's living within you. For that reason, St. Pope Leo the Great says, Christians, recognize your dignity. We have great dignity, but also we have great destiny. Dignity, we're living temples of the Trinity. Destiny is heaven. There's a story of a mother that went to church about 400 years ago. And she brought her little son, who was about 3 years old. When the mother went up to communion, the little boy stayed back. So mother comes back from communion and kneels down. Little boy very spontaneously puts his head over the mother's heart. And the mother said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm listening to the heart of Jesus beat within your heart." The little boy was about 3 years of age. Wow, he was well educated, wasn't he? Good parents. The name of that little boy is Saint Francis de Sales. See how important it is for parents to educate their children as to their dignity and their destiny. So that's my comment on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And it's number 248. We're going at a very slow pace. We'll take one number at a time and we'll give just a short explanation of it. My friends, now we're going to be going through the letter of the Hebrews, which is very, very, very deep letter to us. Last night when I was reading, preparing for my conversation with you, I really felt consoled to be able to go through this reading with you. Because what happens is the author of this letter gives us very practical advice very practical advice to follow Christ and to grow in holiness so that we can get to heaven. We've been reading through the letter of Hebrews the past 2 weeks. So let's go through it. There's a lot of advice. We'll try to glean as much as we can. Then we'll give an idea or two on the gospel. Today in the gospel, there's a parallel between the saint we celebrate today and the gospel, because we have the saint Agatha was martyred. The gospel today is the martyrdom of Saint John the Baptist. So that's a preview of the gospel today. You see a parallel. They both died for love of Christ and to defend the truth. Saint Agatha to defend purity, Saint John the Baptist also denouncing adultery in the case of King Herod. So it's often good to see parallels or comparisons or connections as we read and meditate upon the Word of God. So let's go into the book of Hebrews, letter of Hebrews, excuse me. And the author starts out by saying, let brotherly love continue. Wow. Let brotherly love continue. There's so much that can be said about that. Let brotherly love continue. Many, many years ago, there was a story of this elderly man who was about 100 years of age. And he He would go from one town to another, and he was a preacher. And he preached this message, love one another as I have loved you. Those were the words of Jesus, his last commandment. And he went from town to town, and this, on one occasion, a young man appears to him and says, why do you keep preaching the same thing? And the elderly man said this, I keep preaching it because it was the last commandment of the Lord. And if we put into practice our love for God and their love for each other, then we will have accomplished all the other commandments. Love is the bond of perfection. Charity, which means supernatural love, is the greatest of all virtues. And by the way, that elderly man was Saint John the Evangelist. He was preaching that at the end of his life. So, as Saint John of the Cross says, in the twilight of our life we'll be judged on love. So you might examine your conscience. Let brotherly love continue. And ask yourselves, how can I put into practice this command? Let brotherly love continue. I'd like to make a comment that's very important, which blocks or even paralyzes brotherly love. And it's this. And I say this out of great concern for all of us because we're forming a family. This is our perseverance family. Is if we have been hurt by someone, we have to forgive from our heart. And forgiveness is not, it is not an emotion or a feeling. But rather, forgiveness is an act of the will. So even though someone maybe hurt you, you have a certain anger or even repugnance toward that person, still we have to forgive. In other words, we cannot be holding on to resentment. If we hold on to resentment, my friends, then we become a slave. We become slaves to our own resentment. We have to learn to relinquish it. Once we forgive and we pray for those who have hurt us, then we've come to set the captives free. We become freed from the captivity of our own resentment. It's very interesting, that topic, though. Recently in prayer, something was called to mind about someone who rebuked me for doing something that I thought was good, and there was a hurt there. And I'd already prayed for this person, But I think there was still some vestige within me of maybe a little bit of resentment that had to be healed. And this was 20 years ago. And it occurred to me in one of my holy hours. Happened 20 years ago. So you see, my friends, when we're praying, prayer is so important. But one of the elements of prayer is that when we pray, God will sometimes surface past resentments that we really have not resolved. And I believe there are many bitter, angry people in the world, among which are Catholics, because they have been wounded. And instead of bringing these wounds to Jesus, who is the wounded healer, they end up by becoming wounded wounders. And either we are wounded wounders in a wounded and broken world, or we become wounded healers. Because the prophet Isaiah says, by his wounds we are healed. Jesus is our divine physician. So I thought I would throw that out at you. excuse me. That for us to love, one of the roadblocks which prevents a true love of God and neighbor is when we hold on to past resentments. And usually that's in the context of the family. Maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your mother-in-law, maybe it's your older son. Maybe it's a cousin. It could be anyone. But if we don't come to terms with that, that's blocking the flow of grace. It's blocking the flow of grace. And remember what we say in the Our Father. We say, forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So in a certain sense, forgiveness is a two-way street. Father Al Hall, an oblate priest that was with us in St. Peter's Chanel years ago, said in one of his homilies, if you don't want to forgive your enemy, then don't pray the Our Father, because you're becoming hypocritical. Strong words. Pretty strong words, but very true words. So I thought that I would just bring that to our conversation so that we can put into practice that beautiful command of the reading today. Is let brotherly love continue. Next, it says, do not neglect hospitality. Do not neglect hospitality. And then there's a following verse that I find it to be fascinating. It says, because some unknowingly have entertained angels. Maybe you've entertained an angel when you're practicing hospitality. Especially for the Jews and for most cultures, hospitality is a very, very important social virtue. Hospitality. A very, very important social virtue. One of the best passages, excuse me, With respect to hospitalities, Luke chapter 10. In this, we encounter Jesus is a recipient of hospitality. Hospitality wherein the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It's interesting, I heard the other day that Pope Francis is going to start a, he's going to be starting a new feast day. The feast day of Martha, he's going to combine Mary and Lazarus. So three of the saints will be on that day, July 29th, starting this year. Very interesting. So in Bethany, that's where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived, they practice hospitality. In hospitality, it's a, as I said, it's a very important social virtue. And what it means is knowing how to receive people. Knowing the art of receiving people. And you may have the opportunity to do that. Very interesting, this concept of hospitality. Because at about 70 years of age, my father retired. And he's going to live another 18 years. He died at 88. And one of the things that he and my mother did was they received a lot of guests into their home. Sometimes priests, now and then a bishop, certain heads of colleges, CEOs of book publishers, not to mention us, are the nine children that God gave to them. And it might seem to be a fairly easy virtue, but it really isn't. In hospitality, the other day I talked about fraternal correction as a dimension of charity. But also hospitality is a certain dimension of charity too. Because Jesus said, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. I was hungry, you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. All those refer to elements of hospitality. So the practice of hospitality is an important social virtue. But it's not as easy as you think. Because in the details of hospitality, you clean the house, you prepare the meal, you prepare appetizers, and then you, once you receive the guests, you invite them to sit down and you engage them in conversation. You engage them in conversation. And engaging in conversation in the evening, if you're already tired, can be a real sacrifice. But sacrifice is synonymous with love. So the virtue, my friends, of hospitality. Let's develop this a little bit more. Let's get down to brass tacks. Just develop this a little bit more. Hospitality can be interpreted in a much more extensive way. In this, hospitality could also be the way in which you receive your family members into your home every day. I'll give you an example. Maybe your husband has been working hard all day. Thanks be to God, he's got work. Working hard all day, and he's got a back-breaking job. A lot of pressure. When he's traveling home, there's a lot of traffic on the highway. You're receiving your husband at home with attention, concern, and love is a way to practice hospitality. Charity begins at home. I remember as a child, my dad, when he would go off to work, my mom would give him a kiss. And when he came back, she would give him a kiss. And that kiss would be the kiss of hospitality. Sometimes, my friends, in our family life, we forget about these details. Our God is a God of details. God pays attention to details. On one occasion, Jesus was invited to Simon the leper as a guest. You know what happened was the Jewish culture would manifest hospitality by giving a kiss, taking off the sandals, washing the feet. Those were the details of hospitality that were part and parcel of the Jewish culture. But one occasion with Jesus, this woman comes in to the home of Simon. She gets down at the feet of Jesus, and she starts to wipe his feet with oil and bathe his feet with her tears and to kiss his feet. And this was a public sinner. Simon was criticizing Jesus in his heart. But Jesus was snubbed by Simon. What I mean by snubbed was Simon did not practice hospitality. He did not practice hospitality toward Jesus. And Jesus took him up on this. He said, look, Simon, when I arrived, you did not greet me. When I arrived, you did not take off my sandals. When I arrived, you did not wash my feet. But ever since I arrived at your house, this woman has not stopped by with her tears, with her perfume, with her hair, washing and cleaning my feet. My feet. Though her sins may be many, her sins are forgiven. Her sins, though they be many, her sins are forgiven because she's loved much. Because she's loved much. And this smug, self-righteous Pharisee did not even give Jesus the basic details of hospitality. It's a very, very interesting topic. But I think we have to examine our conscience. Do we receive our husband? Now your children. Now your children, because of the pandemic over the past 10, 11 months, many of them have been confined to the home. But are you a welcoming presence? As mother, do you welcome your children? Or are you indifferent to your children? Do you smile at your children? And here's another question related to the whole topic of hospitality. How about greeting? Say you're walking, approaching someone that you know from afar. Maybe you're walking on the same street and you're getting closer and you recognize someone you know. Here's a very interesting question. Do you greet them first or you wait for them to greet you? Interesting question. I repeat, do you greet them first or you're waiting for them to greet you? You honestly believe if you take the initiative to greet them, that's a gesture of hospitality. But also, in that gesture, it's something so small, but God reads our hearts. God pays attention to details. Is if you take the initiative, it's a manifestation of humility, and it's a manifestation of love. Because you're not putting yourself first. You might think, well, I think that person should greet me first because I'm more important than she is. Well, I don't know if God is happy with that. I think within that there's a lot of pride. A lot of pride. So my friends, you've never heard, you know, a detailed talk on hospitality as I've given to you this morning. But I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention one other detail of hospitality. And I think you will understand me right away as soon as I say it. Hospitality is related to receiving another person with courtesy, with attention, and with love. Here's a really important question. How do you receive Jesus? How do you receive Jesus into your heart when you receive Holy Communion? Aha. Is it a cold, indifferent, nonchalant, perfunctory, routine communion? If so, let's be converted. In the convent of the nuns, there's a plaque that says, "Priest, man of God, say the Mass as if it were your first Mass. Say the Mass as if it were your only Mass. Say the Mass as if it were your last Mass. And I say that to you, my friends. When you receive communion as if it were your first communion, your last communion, and your Holy Communion. So, my friends, we've had a wonderful conversation today, and let us pray for the grace to live out love and to practice the important social virtue of hospitality.
Thou art
the Lord be with you.
And
may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.